tonight and good morning. I love this church, like Pastor John was saying. We go back a long ways. He used to work with me at Southwestern. A long time ago when I started preaching, seems like a million years ago, I go to this church in Radiant Life Church. John would go over there. His father would be over there to support me. When John speak here, I would come over here. But it was a good thing. We support each other and praise God for that. They're a good family. And Ruth, I mean, she helped me with my insurance because I'm kind of a big dummy. I don't know insurance. I don't know nothing about that. I don't know computers. I have a hard time with my cell phone. Last night I was taking pictures. I looked at it. Oh, there was a wrong picture. But praise God. Like I said, I'm old, but I thank you. I like this church. And thank you, John. And I'll get started on it. Like he said, I had a hard life and everything. I'm from South Texas originally, but I traveled this United States a whole bunch of times. But for me, well, my life started when my dad passed away. I was like 14 years old and I just became a wild kid. I thought I had 14 good years, but I was talking to my older sisters the other day. It was Christmas time. I visited them over there in South Texas. Every Christmas, my mom, she's turning 86 in a couple of days, well, the 25th actually of March. And I was telling my older sister, no, I was good to the age of 14, then dad passed away. I just came wild and everything, fighting and selling drugs and everything. My sister said, no, ever since you were born, you were a bad kid. I said, no, I wasn't. So we're talking to my mom. My mom said, sorry, son, since you were born, you were a bad kid. I didn't know. I thought I had 14 good years. But no, she said, you were born, you were a bad kid. Anyway, that's a little bit. I'll tell you more about myself as we go on through this. We're going to start with Psalms 32, verse 8. And then I'll be reading out of 1 Samuel 17 chapter, only 5 verses. 45:50, because my wife told me to keep it short. Anyway, in Psalms 32:8, it reads like this. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathways of your life. I will give you advice, you and watch over your... Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord Father God, for bringing me here, Lord Father God. And Lord Father God, just pray, Lord Father God, so you can give me the words so they can be able to hear, open their hearts, and listen to your words, Lord Father God, not me, but you, Lord. This service is all about you, not me, not about Lupe, but you, Lord Father God. And Lord Father God, we love you and we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, Lord Father God, and may your name be kept holy. You all know the story about David and Goliath. So I'm just going to go ahead and start with verse 45 through 50, like I said. That's on chapter 17. And it reads like this. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's army, the Lord of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47. And everybody assembled here will know that you, the Lord, rescued his people, but not with a sword or a spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. As Goliath moved closer to attack David, David quickly ran to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone. He hurled it into his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only one, a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword out of his head. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. I'm reading out the New Translation Bible. Forgot to tell you that. But like I said, we all know the story about that. So we're going to be speaking about giants in our lives, mountains, problems that I believe we all have in our lives. Right. And if we don't, I mean, you're blessed if you don't have a giant in your life. Right. I do. I got plenty of them. Yeah. Our giants, we face them, yet we need not to face them alone. We need to focus first and most of all on God. Amen?
Amen.
The things I tell you about, I have gone through, I had had a hard life, I had giants in my life. My problem was I never did know Jesus. But as I was telling you a little bit about my life, I used to sell a lot of drugs, marijuana, only marijuana. And I would take it to other different states, towns. And for example, in New Orleans, I got shot in my back on a bad drug deal. Didn't kill me. Then in Brownsville, on a bar that I wasn't supposed to be in, there was this guy hiding behind that door. My brother-in-law was behind me and all. He tried to stab me in my heart. Well, he stabbed me and I grabbed a knife. And on this finger by itself, I got 14 stitches. The doctor said I was never gonna move it. And I remember running. At that time, I could run. But as I was running, there was blood all over the place. And they took me to the doctor. Doctor put 14 stitches, said, "You'll never move this finger again." But somehow, I have. And I've been able to work. But there was in Brownsville. New Orleans, I got stabbed. New Orleans, I got shot. Brownsville, Texas, I got stabbed. And in Ohio, I took two overdoses, but that was not by accident. I was tired of my life. I just one day went to end everything about my life. So I take a mixture of cocaine and heroin in a cornfield where nobody was supposed to be. But apparently there was this guy and this lady doing what they were not supposed to. And they found me, took me to the doctor, and they brought me back to life. You know, one time, another time, where my mom's house was, I planned everybody to be out of the house just by myself. I did the same thing. And I got one sister in Ohio that comes to visit my mom sometimes. She calls to pick me up at the airport. But this time, she's a nurse, and I planned everything. But this time, she took a taxi cab, went to my mom's house, and found me on the floor. Again, I mean, like I said, I wanted to take my life. I was tired of it. And but she found me. She opened the door and found me. Again, they took me to the doctor. He brought me back to life. And I'm sorry if I get a little bit misty here. But that's, I should be dead by now, but somehow God got me here. I mean, well, let's continue here. It's been hard, but I'm still here. God only knows why. The times David focused on God, giants fell. The days he didn't, David fell. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Focus on giants, and we stumble. Focus on God, and giants tremble. So then, lift your eyes, you giant slayers. The Lord who made a miracle out of David stands ready to make a miracle out of you. David went out to kill the giant, but he was just a shepherd boy. It's like a mini bike attacking an 18-wheeler or a poodle taking on a pit bull. Our Goliaths carry a sword or a shield. Our Goliaths or giants come in unemployment, abandonment. Our giants doesn't parade up and down the hills of Elad. Our giants parade around our office, our bedrooms, our classrooms. Right. He will bring you, our giants will bring you bills we can't pay, grace we can't make, people we can't please, alcohol we can't refuse, pornography we can't refuse, a career we can't escape, or a past that we just can't shape, and a future we can't face. We know well the roar of our giants. Like I said, this year is hard for me. When my dad died too, also, I just became like a wild man fighting all on the streets and everything. The good part about it that my mom knew some people, my dad's friends, and they took me in. And they kind of showed me my anger. They were boxing trainers. I was like 14, 15 still at that time. And they took me in and said, "You got a lot of problems." I'm over here, "Really?" And then they took me in and showed me how to box, and I boxed 6 years in the ring, and I like that. I still like boxing, like I said. Last night, my daughter paid for my tickets. I couldn't afford. Every seat was like $2,000 over there, but she got them for $700 a seat. That's still a lot of money. I couldn't afford it, but my daughter, one of them, I got two daughters and one boy, and she paid for me and my son-in-law to go to that boxing. I had a lot of fun, but it got tired. I got home at 1 o'clock, but this year is more important than any box here. God's word to me, it's more important than anything.
Yeah.
Okay, where was I? Like I said, when I started selling drugs over there in South Texas, where I'm from, you got the truck drivers from Mexico coming into the United States, and they would bring cantaloupe, watermelons, and all that. And I was going to school, but I was also working at a produce company. That's how I was introduced to marijuana. The truck drivers from Mexico were bringing it in also, in with the fruits and vegetables and all that. And I kind of saw them. What's all that you're smoking and everything? And they told me, they gave me some. I started selling it in high school. I joined at a time, then a little back. Then we started growing it ourselves and going to Mexico. Back then it was kind of easy because I would get out of high school, take a car over to Mexico, they would fill it up with pot and come in over here. You see, the custom agents wouldn't check, and they were just checking if you were a US citizen, and that's all. Nowadays, you've got your dogs, you've got x-ray machines, you've got all that stuff. But back then, there was nothing like that. And it was easier, so I was getting all that stuff here and selling it into the United States. Then I found out we were migrant workers, and we would go up north Michigan, work on the farms and all. And I found some people over there, and then all of a sudden, I was just taking it from South Texas to Mexico and everything. And my problem was that I fell in love with money. Money was everything. I was 17, I was buying fast cars, houses, land. I was 17, mobile homes and all. Then that went on for years and years, more money. I was even buying stuff for my wife and doing things that wasn't supporting. I'm not proud of my past at all, but I can't blame nobody, just myself. I don't know if the devil had anything with it, but I was running and not sleeping. I was on cocaine, not sleeping for 4 days, then coming home, changing and going back out again. I was losing jobs and everything. I mean, it got bad, but I didn't see it. I didn't know God. And then at the age of 23, they caught me with 40 pounds of pot at a checkpoint. They sent me to the penitentiary for 3 years, did the time and everything. They say that penitentiary would help you out, coming out and all that, but I came out worse. I came out of there worse, more hungry to make money and all. Then coming out after that, I got married when I was 17 and my wife was 16. I don't know why, but that's the way it happened. I just went to her town, which is next to my town, just to pick fights with the other. And like I said, I was fighting like every night and everything. Then they send you to jail, you fight there every day. But my wife divorced me when I stayed divorced for 5 years, from 95 to 2000. Then I walked into this church in Grand Prairie asking for help. Really, I just wanted some money, because you see, the money that I had and everything I had, cars, motorcycles and all that, the government took them away, and everything I had, the money, I had nothing. So I went to live in the streets of Dallas and Irving for only, well, it was a long time, 2 weeks, but it was hard. I mean, once you don't have food or nothing, you gotta go into dumpsters and eat. You take a bath when it rains. If it don't rain, you don't shower. I mean, it was bad from having that money and then living in the streets. And I walked into this church in Grand Prairie that I knew, and the pastor there, I thought they were gonna give me money. But it was a Tuesday night, they were having men's fellowship. And they prayed for me and everything. Next day, they put me into this men's ministry called Teen Life Challenge. I did a year there, and my wife saw the change, my kids saw the change, and then we got remarried. That's the lady that put up with me for many years, and still is. Excuse me. I can't do on that. Thank you. All right, let's continue. Challenge we might face them, yet we not face them alone. The Lord does save us with. He saves us not with sword, spear, for the battle is the Lord, and we will give to us. The Lord who made a miracle out of David stands ready to make a miracle out of us. We all have gone through pain and trials. I know I have. Like I said, I was being shot, stabbed, and I'm still walking around, went through divorce and all, but I'm still following Jesus. David found a companion in a prince of Israel. We find a friend in King Jesus Christ. We long for one true friend. We have one, and because we have a choice God gave us. We can ponder on our monsters, or we can the kingdom of our Jesus Christ. As Jonathan protected David, Jesus vows to protect us. Look at what we have. Our giant took much, but Christ Jesus gave us more. Let Jesus be the friend we need. Talk to him, spare no detail. You will giants disappear, I do not know. In any sense, it doesn't matter. We just found a friend for life. What should we better than that? We need to let David be our teacher. Sure, he goes crazy for a few verses, but in the cave, he gathers himself, the faithful servant boy, surface again, the giant killer, recovers his courage. Yes, he has a price on his head. Yes, he has no place to lay his head. When I was out there on the streets, there's always people trying to get after you, steal from you, whatever. So I do, like I said, they were trying to kill me. In Louisiana, when I went over there and took the drugs to this person that I know, he was a Vietnam veteran. We had made a lot of deals, but this time, I remember him, he only had one arm, but he can shoot. Anyway, when he was I was shot, my friend had ruined one of my trucks, and I jumped in there, but he really tried to kill us. My pastor, where I go to Grand Prairie, he's now retiring and everything. He told me one time that I have more lives than a cat. I also tell him, those lives are running out too. I don't know what God's got planned for me, but while I'm here, I'm still going to be continue doing His work wherever the doors are open. I'm there. Wherever leads, I'll follow.
Yes.
Then David returned, focused on God, and found courage. He found his courage. He found refuge. Make God your refuge, not a job, your space, your reputation, or even your retirement account. Make God your refuge. Let Him be all that can stop the wind, the foundations on which we stand. We never know what Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we have.
Yes.
Find refuge in Jesus' presence. Forgiveness is chosen to see our offenders with different eyes. Christ lived the life we could not live and took punishment that we could not take to give us hope. When I was in Teen Life Challenge shows you to forgive people. One time I was coming out of Life Challenge, like I said, without a penny, without nothing. And I had, in my life, I had heard so many people, we would send letters or go see them, ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it all worked out good, but I was living in Ohio one time and I knew I had to ask forgiveness for this lady. I was married, but I was living with another lady. Like I said, I'm not proud of my past, even ashamed. So my oldest daughter, she told me, "Dad, let's go." So she took me to Ohio. We found this family I had lived, I had heard. This is years ago. I didn't have no penny and she took me anyway. We found the place. And she had a whole bunch of brothers. I said, I'll ask for forgiveness, but keep the car running because I might be coming out running. And this lady that I had known, she said, "It's all right." She had already been remarried. Oh, I mean, I never married her. But she was already married with a different family, and she said, "That's all right." Her words were, "I forgive you." And that's all I needed. So we came back, but I did not have to go to Ohio, ask this family for forgiveness. But inside of me, the Holy Spirit kept pushing and pushing. Pushing. So I went, even though I might have gotten killed over there, I still had to ask for forgiveness. And this lady said, "That's all right. I got this family now. I got, and it's everything's forgiven."
That's good.
God knows the sorrow of a grave. He buried His only Son, but He also knows the joy of resurrection. The Lord says, "I will guide you along the best pathways for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." So nowadays, don't make a decision whether it's large or small. Talk to God first.
Yes.
With the Bible open, heart open, ears open, just like Samuel's prayer says, "Your servant is listening." While listening to the mockers, do not listen to the mockers or the negative people. While you, with the same ears you have, listen to the voice of God. God will talk to you, maybe in a loud voice, maybe in a small voice. When He talks to me, usually it's loud. That's the only thing I can understand, somebody yelling at me. I guess I'm used to my wife. But like I said, she knows all about me, all my past, and she's still putting up with me. But I was getting dressed, and she said, "No, wear the other suit." I said, "No, I like this one." And then she goes, "Wear that suit." Okay, okay. I'll wear that suit. And like I was saying, with those same ears, listen to God. Place your mistakes before the judgment seat of God. Let him condemn it, let him pardon, and let him put it away. And don't quit. I've seen people quit their marriages, quit their job, quit church, but don't quit. God's got a plan for every one of us. He does for me and you, and God knows it. People will help you along the way if you ask for help, but at the end, the only one can really, truly help you is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just four words, have faith in God. We got grace, and grace is always better than money. Yeah. This grace is God's grace. Write today's worries in sand, but chisel Jesus' victories in stone. Never give up. Still following Jesus. That is the way it is today.
Yes.
And with that, that's all I got, because I see my wife going like that. So I'll quit with that, just no more prayer.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you for giving me this opportunity. I thank you for Pastor Sean and his family, Lord Father God, the whole congregation, Lord Father God, that invited me here today, Lord Father God. And Lord Father God, thank you for giving me these words, Lord Father God, and I hope that somebody got the best out of this, Lord Father God, because in this world we have faced many giants, Lord Father God, but as your word said, you're with us, closer than a brother, and you would not leave us nor forsake us, Lord Father God. So we love you, Lord Father God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
It's amazing to me to hear this testimony from having it all to losing it all. From going from what he's explained to us today, from selling drugs and having all this property and money and fame and street cred, from fighting to then going to the pen and then doing these things that cost him a divorce, losing his wife and his kids, to then going to losing it all, living on the streets, eating out of dumpsters, taking a shower when it rains. But then he found God.
Amen.
And two things that's amazing to me. Number one is that you can never outrun God's grace. He's always loving us. He's always there for us. So you're never too far gone. And the second thing is that just like from Genesis to Revelation, God always wants to have relationship.
Amen.
So when you come to God, he meets you. He met Lupe many years ago when Lupe was a broken individual. But can I say this? You look at now, they got remarried. Their kids, they're all a great family. I know their family, all a wonderful family. And through all those things, it's a beautiful story. But what's even more beautiful is that during the trials and the giants now, he still serves God.
Amen.
So God is faithful to us even whenever we have hard times in our lives. Something Lupe did not point out, and I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but because of his recent health, he had to have part of his leg amputated. There was another surgery where he had to have different things done to him, surgery-wise, to where he was upset. And he shared this last time. And he was in the surgery room. They didn't put him through full anesthesia, but he was under there and he was saying, God, why are you doing this? And I don't know the direct words, but I remember God said, I'm not done using you. And to this day, God has blessed Lupe and his wife and family, but they're still giants. So he's also an example for us that whenever it gets hard and it's difficult, we still have someone to go to.
Yes.
And when we go through him, the giants fall.
Amen.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the service today. We thank you for Lupe sharing his testimony, Lord. We see the power of you whenever we rely on you and we call out to you and we cry out to you. Lord, we know that no matter where we're at, how desperate we are, that when we call on you, Lord, you restore us. You restore everything in our lives. And it takes time and it's difficult, but you can, Lord. You can. Nobody's too far away from your grace and love. Lord, I pray for every individual that heard this sermon, Lord, that you will speak that to them. Holy Spirit, I ask that you convict them and let them know that you love them, that you care for them, and that you are not too far away from them. Lord, I pray that we be lights, Lord, in these situations. Whenever we have giants in our lives, O Lord, that you will show them, Lord, that you are here, and that with you, Lord, we are conquerors. We are victorious through you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give Lupe Luna a round of applause, please, for a wonderful sermon?